Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
HighTimes.com reporting on President Trump pledging to escalate the war on drugs. There were some who were thinking that Trump might take it easy on the drug thing, given that he's been around Hollywood. He probably knows plenty of people who are drug users, who are his friends, or, you know, people that he's been in business with. But no, he's pandering to the police. He's trying to make friends with the police chiefs. Of course, he pandered to them during the campaign, and he is continuing that policy now as president. In a speech to police chiefs and sheriffs at the Washington, D.C. meeting of the Major Cities Chiefs Association this week, Donald Trump dealt a harsh blow to any activists who may have been hoping for a tolerant stance on drugs from the United States' new president. As the conservative RedState.com blog happily headlines, quote, "Trump promises to ramp up the war on drugs," unquote. With almost a touching innocence, it writes, quote, "Citing his border wall as a solution with confidence in his Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly, Trump apparently believes he will succeed where everyone else has failed." If you want to ramp up the Border Patrol, if you want to ramp up, you know, build a wall, you can ramp up all the security that you want to. And all that means is the cartels just have to pay off more border guards. So if there were 20 border guards that they were paying before and now they have to pay 40, no big deal. They'll pay it. And then they'll just raise the price. They'll raise the price of the drugs. And you know what that'll do? When you raise the price of the drugs, that means the street price is going to go up. And what does that mean, Vincent?
More people are going to get desperate. Like here, I'm back in my hometown. Someone just got arrested for breaking into storage units and stealing guitars, stealing all kinds of things.
People go and steal medicine. It's not because they wanted a guitar.
No.
It's because they wanted to pawn the guitar so they could then go buy heroin or crack cocaine or methamphetamine or, you know, you fill in the blank of whatever the drug is. So, you know, I don't know how much Trump actually knows and how much he knows that he's just pandering to these police officers, just talking tough, knowing that ultimately he'll give them what they want, which is better funding, more tools, more toys, more Bearcats, more, you know, military gear, which is what the cops want. They just want more toys.
More cool stuff.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want to do more busts. They want to take more property. They want more civil asset forfeiture, which apparently Trump came out in favor of. There have been states that have been overturning civil asset forfeiture, abolishing it completely. New Hampshire was one of those is one of those states. Let's just say, by some magical ability, Trump can wave a magic wand tomorrow and poof, no more drugs coming through the border. Well, you know what'll happen? People will just start coming up with new ideas, yeah, or old ideas that are even more dangerous.
The old cough syrup and huffing gasoline.
It's what I was thinking. Yeah, huffing gasoline. You want to talk about making drugs even more dangerous? Go ahead. Ban the ones that have success at somehow stopping the illegal ones from coming in, and you'll see even more dangerous drug use.
Well, even with just regular, you know, scheduled substances, some of these meth labs back where I was from, the domestic ones, they'd constantly blow up. It would poison people. It would ruin the a value of a house. They have to ask, like, if you're selling your house in some place, some realtors ask, did you ever cook meth here? Just because it ruins the structure of a house, allegedly.
Yes, there is violence within the war on drugs, no doubt. But the majority of the violence is between the drug user who needs to get high and their next victim, as far as who they need to rob in order to feed their habit. As long as you have people who are depressed, as long as you have people who want to escape their reality, and there are plenty of people like that, whether it's Donald Trump or Barack Obama, there's never a shortage of people who hate their lives, of people who want to do anything they can to get some sort of relief, some sort of escape from their existence. That's why a lot of people do drugs. And that's not going to change when Donald Trump cracks down. In fact, it's just going to make things worse. Can you imagine if you're a depressed person? I don't know how familiar you are with depression, but some people are intimately familiar with it.
Yeah, I'm familiar, yeah.
If you're a depressed person and then you end up getting arrested and then you have to go to court and then you have to go to jail and then you have to go and get out of jail and then have to put your life back together,
No,
is that going to help with your depression?
No.
No, it's definitely not going to. And while you're in jail, you're going to meet some other people who might be in there for real crimes. You have the choice of doing the right thing, which is to completely legalize all drugs. Now, I realize that sounds crazy to some people, but the fact is it was less than 100 years ago that somebody could go in to a corner store, a child could go into a corner store and buy a whole bottle full of heroin, whole bottle full of morphine, no problem. And nobody would even bat an eye at it. And there wasn't a problem back then, a huge problem with addiction. Were there addicts? Yes, there were addicts. Your bored housewives, for instance, were likely to be addicts back then. But it wasn't a profound, violent, dangerous addiction. It was just a personal tragedy addiction because they could afford it. You can go and get as much heroin as you wanted for next to no cost because it was available legally. Because when something's available legally in the legal marketplace, it's open competition, and anybody who wants to can enter the market, make the product themselves, manufacture and market that product, sell it, and collect whatever revenues they want. Now, it's all driven underground. As you were mentioning, I don't know if it was on the air or off, but you were talking about the meth manufacturing.
It was on the air, yeah.
You were talking about the dangers around meth manufacturing. Well, yeah. That's because they're being made in somebody's back bathtub or whatever in conditions that aren't well ventilated, and they're, you know, light a cigarette and then kaboom,
and
right?
They have to use like consumer grade products like I don't know like motor oil or cat litter, and you
yeah
know,
I don't know what all the yeah, I don't know what all the products are,
but
that
I
go
mean
into
like
it,
it's,
yeah.
They can't get, you know, the safe stuff from, you know, a store like, you know, an online store, because like, oh, you have to be a chemistry teacher to
right.
buy it, so they use all these dangerous stuff, you
like
know,
Sudafed
yeah and have a Bunsen burner and they don't know how to use it and it blows up.
Vincent, you were a supporter of Trump during the campaign. You've just been sort of listening and taking all this in. It seems like you can somewhat understand, or that, you know, familiar at least with the idea that the war on drugs is a failure.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you know, I think it's a shame that he's continuing it. I think he could have gotten a lot of, you know, cross appeal support.
But he wouldn't have appealed to the police.
Well, that's, you know, it's, yeah. Well, he could have appealed in other ways regarding, let's see, I'm trying to think of it. Oh, gosh. Anyways, but I think it's unfortunate. He could have gotten a lot of support, and you know, but when I voted for him, and I knew it, because when I went to see him in person in New Hampshire, and he went around New Hampshire a lot and talked about it, the opiate crisis, as he called it, the opiate crisis, the opioids, and, you know, heroin epidemic, and I knew, but, you know, I triaged, and I said, okay, well, I don't agree with him on this, but I agree with him on some other aspects.
Let's
and, yeah,
be clear,
you know,
Hillary Clinton would also ramp up the war on drugs. I mean, she's no friend of, you know, drug reform either. The fact is, you have people using drugs right now. The idea behind legalizing them is that it's harm reduction. It accepts the idea that people are going to use drugs. We have to accept that idea. To not accept that idea is to deny the reality around you. It's to live in some crazy, straight-edge world where you believe only the best about the people who surround you. And the reality is, most people are not nailed to the X. You know, the straight edge, it's their slogan or something like
that. Never heard
that. That's what I've heard. I don't know. I don't hang out with those people. But, you know, the idea is that they aren't doing any kind of mind-altering substances. No alcohol, no cigarettes, no weed, no harder drugs, none of that. Those people are in the minority. I imagine if you are a straight-edge person, if you don't do any kind of mind-altering substance, you might be more likely to know more of those people. You might be more likely to run in one of those circles. Like, you know, if you go to a church group, then obviously most of the people there are probably believers in whatever the religion is that you're going to. If you hang out with people who don't do drugs, then you're going to feel like there's a lot more people who don't do drugs.
Like a form of confirmation bias.
But the fact is, it's, you know, marijuana, alcohol, these are very, very popular drugs in the United States. And there's nothing inherently wrong, in my opinion, with altering one's state of consciousness. It's kind of the human condition to some extent. I would bet that a lot of the straight edge people still drink caffeine. That brings us to the good news, at least for now, until and if the Trump administration cracks down, which hopefully they won't. Hopefully they'll at the very least understand that marijuana legalization is happening, and they shouldn't try to stop it. It would be so futile and so stupid for them to do that. But ultimately, that's what the cops are going to want. The cops want to continue to control marijuana. They want to continue this war on drugs because the war on drugs is mostly a war on marijuana. Half of the arrests every year in the United States, and there's more than a million, I think it's close to 1.5 million arrests per year in the United States, are for marijuana.
From what I understand and from what he's talked about on the campaign trail and difficult questions like that, this is just my analysis, that he's more likely to give it to the states and not interfere. But now that he's in office and he has all these, you know, voices in his ear, it could change.
So the good news from Vice.com, your favorite website. The state of Colorado sold $1.3 billion worth of recreational and medical marijuana in the year of 2016, though experts do think the boom will eventually level off. It's its third year since legalizing recreational marijuana. Colorado dispensaries took in $1.3 billion in legal weed sales, according to the Colorado Department of Revenue. You said you are straight edge, meaning that you don't use any drugs, although you weren't necessarily intimately familiar with that term. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that term precisely, but you know, it seems pretty obvious in its meaning. But I've never used alcohol or drugs other than caffeine. Yes, I acknowledge that caffeine is a drug. But the main reason I haven't is because, from what I've seen more often than not, you know, having grown up on the West Coast and gone to school at a liberal arts college, really hardcore liberal arts college, is that more often than not, people use them because they have never developed the means to let go of their inhibitions. I'm of the opinion that if a person has, you know, have been trained to do it, or if they've simply just developed the means to do it, they can, of their own volition, they can put their inhibitions aside.
Yeah, I think you're right. Some people do use drugs to wipe away inhibitions or lessen their inhibitions. Certainly alcohol is very common for that. That's why people will go out to clubs or bars and they'll drink to try to meet people, to get over their inhibitions with talking to somebody that they might be interested in. So that's not uncommon. But a lot of people just use it for escapism as well. So it's not just to lower inhibitions, but to also just simply try to get away from their problems, to try to forget about their problems. So that's another reason. Now, what's your experience as far as your friends, your associates? Are you the odd man out at any kind of family or gathering of your friends at a party, for instance?
I think the first party I went to actually was just like a couple of years ago. So I've been to very few of them in my life. For me, it's unique because it's kind of compounded. I'm an atheist and a capitalist and an objectivist. So I'm a microscopic minority. I'm always faced with a situation where it's like, oh, hey, there's a group of atheists there. I could hang out with them. That'd be cool. They're crazy rabid communists. I just visited New Hampshire there for the Liberty Forum, and I didn't know about that group. So next time I go, I'll check them out.
Oh, cool. I don't know what they're called, so I don't know.
Okay.
I know they exist because I know I've heard that they exist, but I don't know how you would go about finding them. I guess you could probably post in like the Free State Project group, and I bet one of them would probably pipe up and say, hey, that's over here, and you can come over here. And you'd likely find some kindred spirits. And I know that a lot of the libertarians that have moved here to New Hampshire are also atheists. So I bet you could find at least a couple of matching personality factors in that group.
Oh, cool.
Stephen, how was your visit, by the way? Was it your first visit to New Hampshire?
Yeah, it was. I took a train over there.
Oh, wow.
All the
way from Washington.
What's that?
Sorry. All the way from Washington. How long does that take to take a train ride? Because I know there's a lot of stops. So what was that, a week?
Yeah, I took Amtrak, took the Empire Builder to Chicago, and that was like 40 stops just to get to Chicago. And then like another 10 or 15 from Chicago to Massachusetts. There, I got off in Framingham. But yeah, it was like 3 days, like a three-day
three
ride
days.
Just there and 3 days back.
Who's your leader, Vincent?
Who's my leader? I bow before no man beyond the wall.
What is that referencing?
It's a Game of Thrones. It's with the Wildlings. There was such an awesome group of characters, the Wildlings. I always love it.
I watched the first two. I liked it. But it was just one of those shows I just never picked up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not against the fantasy kind of realm thing. I've enjoyed The Lord of the Rings. I watched those once, but I would never go back and watch them a second time. Just, I don't dislike the genre. I just am not a huge fanatic of it. And I guess that's different from the, it's kind of a
what
different
I do,
genre. It's not like, they don't have like orcs, or do they?
It's versus some fantasy, like the White Walkers. What yeah. I do is, because me, usually I get bored after season one of a thing. That's why I like limited series, because, you know, you have a beginning, middle, and end. But the episodes where they talk about the wildlings, and just it's just so interesting, right? It's like the where I my ancestors, you know, grew up, the wilds of Northern Europe, and, you know, snow and everything.
Wait, I thought you were from Canada.
Oh, I said my ancestors.
Oh, right.
And there's a big wall in it, too, so I like that part.
Yeah, right. According to the Denver Post, as cited by Vice.com, the Colorado Tourism Office found that fewer people are visiting the state solely to get stoned. Presumably, snowboarders on vacation will still pick up an ounce or some edible gummies, but the tourism office has already seen a return of the, quote, more usual Colorado traveler, unquote, in 2016, instead of those just looking to score legally. Sandy Vanderveer, president of a large Denver dispensary called Medicine Man, told The Cannabist, quote, it was a difficult year. We're still seeing a steady increase in the number of customers and patients, but sales numbers are pretty flat.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon, or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
What are your views on all this stuff that's going on with this resignation already in the administration? Are you guys happy about it? I mean, you know, it's crazy.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, you're talking about, I did hear the story when we were driving to, Daryl and I went to Concord this morning to do some Liberty testifying at the State House, and I heard the story. It was all over the news, as though, I guess, this character in the Flynn. Trump administration, Flynn, he was allegedly talking to the Russians at some point prior to him becoming, Trump becoming president, and I guess that's a no-no, apparently. So, like, you're not supposed to be acting as a diplomat unless you're actually a diplomat. It's supposedly
it's called the Logan Act, I believe, and it gets violated all the time.
Yeah.
But now, you know, when someone the media doesn't like does it, oh, suddenly it exists again.
Well, he's not going to get brought up on charges, highly unlikely. I mean, they just basically asked him to resign, and he did. So, I don't know. Who cares? I mean, what's the big deal whether he is or is not talking to the Russians? I just don't see why it even matters.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of that's been going on lately, though. You know, these people are really just going too crazy on this. Let them do the job. If we don't like it, we can vote them out in 4 years. But, you know, it's really sad. I've been listening to this, and it's all over the radio, and it's a big hype and everything. The guy basically didn't break any law. He just made a mistake.
So, Vincent, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about what happened in Concord today, because you were shocked. You were surprised to learn that in the live free or die state, that you have to have a beautician's license, or I guess a cosmetology license, whatever it is that they call it, in order to braid hair, in order to do traditional African-style hair braiding. And there aren't a lot of black people in New Hampshire, but there are some. And if the people who are at the, you know, hair salons don't know how to braid African style hair, then, or, you know, black hair, whatever you want to call it, curly hair,
dreadlocks.
Well, dreadlocks is one way of handling that hair, but there are other ways to do it as well. And, you know, if they're not trained on how to do this, then where does the person go? How does the individual get this service? And it turns out that there are not a whole lot of people in New Hampshire who know how to do that. There are some, but they have to work underground because they don't want to go and spend $20,000 on a cosmetology license. That's what the license itself is, $40 for 2 years. but it costs $20,000 to go to the school that you have to go to get certified in order to get the 1,500 hours of training that's required to get a cosmetology license so you don't get arrested or fined for performing braiding without a license. The whole idea behind this licensing scheme is fear. It's fear about what might happen. Yes, have some people's scalps been burned by somebody who didn't know how to handle a hot iron or whatever? Yeah, those things have happened in the past. Has somebody used the wrong chemical when, you know, they should have used a different chemical for whatever hair purposes? Sure, there's risk involved when we're talking about chemicals. But ultimately, let's let the market decide this.
And the government, it only gets the $40 license fee, right? Or what money does it get from the process?
The government gets the $40 license fee.
And so the school
gets $15,000 to $20,000.
So, okay. So then in this case, it's, you know, an industry trying to use the force of a government
Absolutely.
To protect itself.
And here's the real killer. When I got up there, I mentioned this. And the people on the board were nodding their heads. They're not the board, but the committee, the State House committee that I was talking to, because they know it's true. The woman who proposed and got passed the cosmetology license in New Hampshire back in the 1990s, guess what kind of business she was in?
Cosmetology.
She owned a cosmetology school. People in any country in the world should be allowed to do business with people in the United States. I don't care if it's a terrorist nation or, you know, the axis of evil, as George W. Bush put it. One of the things that hurts the relations between countries like Iran or Cuba, for instance, and the United States is the fact that you can't legally do business. NBCNews.com reporting U.S. intelligence has collected information. This news came out just a few days ago, but we haven't talked about it yet. Collected information that Russia is considering turning over Edward Snowden as a gift to President Donald Trump, who has called the NSA leaker a spy and a traitor who deserves to be executed. Now, that's according to a senior U.S. official who has analyzed a series of highly sensitive intelligence reports detailing Russian deliberations and who says a Snowden handover is one of the various ploys to curry favor with Trump. Second source in the intelligence community confirms the intelligence about the Russian conversations and notes that it has been gathered since the inauguration. Snowden's ACLU lawyer, Ben Wisner, told NBC News they're unaware of any plans that would send him back to the United States. Quote, Team Snowden has received no such signals and has no new reason for concern. Well, I would say this is a reason for concern. Maybe he's just acting like there's no reason for concern. But if rumor is that the Russian government is talking about this, maybe it's just a completely made-up story.
Well, there's been a lot of different leaks coming out of the White House. So some might be real and some might be made just to, you know, spread panic or distrust. But
that's a good point.
It is important for him to take it seriously.
I would. The White House had no comment on this, but the Justice Department told NBC News it would welcome the return of Snowden, who currently faces federal charges that carry a minimum of 30 years in prison. Putin's spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, said talk about returning Snowden is, quote, nonsense. So that's good news. At least the government is officially denying it in Russia. If he were returned to American soil, Snowden, who is seen by some as a hero and others as treasonous, would face an administration that has condemned him in the strongest terms. Trump said in July, quote, I think he's a total traitor and I would deal with him harshly. And if I were president, Putin would give him over. Snowden is a spy who should be executed, he tweeted. CIA Director Mike Pompeo has also called for Snowden to face American justice, saying, quote, that I think the proper outcome would be that he would be given a death sentence. I mean, can you imagine a death sentence for doing the right thing, a death sentence for shining some light on the depravity and the invasions of the privacy of Americans by the American state, by the NSA? You were in Warren County District Court or Municipal Court this morning to back up Adamo Freeman, the founder of CopBlock.org, who our listeners know late last week, I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday night, he was arrested while traveling through Lebanon and charged with 3 felony counts of possession and trafficking in drugs, with the arraignment scheduled for this morning. And you happen to live about a half an hour away. So what happened?
Yeah, so ironically, me and Adamo were supposed to have dinner on the day he was arrested. We were supposed to meet up, and I worked out at the gym, and I was heading home, and the next thing I know, I see a live stream, live video stream from him on Facebook showing his arrest. And, you know, it goes without saying that I'm pretty sick about this. He's one of my best friends, and it's just a terrible situation. And what's worse, Ian, is that Ohio literally just a few months ago basically passed legal marijuana.
Really?
Legalized marijuana here. Yeah, it's medical.
Oh,
it's not implemented yet. But
was it legislative or a ballot measure?
It was legislative.
Okay,
but still, it's just insane. It goes to show how the insanity of legal system in this country.
Well, they'll enforce their precious prohibition until the last possible moment. I mean,
it's incredible.
Virgil, there were rumors flying around that they found other drugs besides marijuana. Did you hear anything about that in court today?
I did not. There was no clarification as to what they found in there, and I don't know anything about Ademo's dealings, just to clarify I don't know what he was involved in or any of that, and honestly, I don't even know if there was marijuana in his car or not.
Sure.
This is what the cops are claiming, and knowing his history and who he is and how much police hate him, it's impossible to know what happened, honestly.
Right. So, he was in a cruiser the whole time, so presumably he wasn't able to actually observe the search.
No.
They put him in the cruiser, telling him he was not under arrest, actually, during that, because I listened to the audio. I took the 40-minute-long audio that he recorded on his cell phone and chopped it up into about 15 minutes. That audio is available over at FreeKeen.com, the FreeKeen YouTube channel, for anybody that wants to hear it. But they only arrested him after they found the alleged marijuana, so presumably he didn't have to get in the cruiser, but it was cold outside, so that's where that's where he went. And
yeah, and I just spoke with him literally about 15 minutes ago, right before I called in.
So he called you from jail?
He did. They actually have a very nice and very costly video chat set up there.
What's it, 20 bucks? $20 for 5 minutes?
Something like that, like $5 per minute or some insane amount like that. And I spoke with him. He sends his greetings to everyone.
What do you know about this area, Lebanon, Ohio? You live nearby. It was state troopers. I mean, is there anything you can comment on just generally?
Well, based on my discussion with the attorney, Warren County is a fairly conservative county, so he didn't end up in a perfect situation. Mm-hmm. The judge is very anti-drug judge.
Yeah.
So it's your standard story, you know. Conservative people, they hate drugs. They support the war on drugs, and Ademo seems to be another victim of this.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Now, I did ask if you could get a camera into the courtroom there. You said you weren't sure about what the requirements were. Did you ever look into that?
Yeah, they have a poster on the door. They say you must file something. Today, I did get video.
I did.
I didn't ask for permission. I just went ahead and started streaming, and nobody nice. Seemed to care or pay attention. So it turned out okay. 2 years ago, as you well remember, I was actually charged with a panhandling charge in Xenia, Ohio.
You were conducting civil disobedience and breaking the panhandling ordinance right outside of, was it City Hall or the police station? I forget which.
It's the same building.
Okay.
It's in front. They both are in the same building, and they kind of fell right into my trap, I guess.
And you were collecting money for charity, were you not?
I was. Yeah. I raised $42 for charity, and they fined me. They prosecuted me. We went to a full-blown jury trial that probably cost the city $10,000 or $15,000.
It's insane.
Yeah, they found me guilty. They sentenced me 30 days in jail, suspended. And then it turned out that I won an appeal about a year later. The appeals court said that I did not get a fair trial, and eventually all the charges were dropped. Well, now, last week I actually filed a $1.6 million lawsuit. It's under Title 42 of the U.S. Code. It's a federal lawsuit.
So federal, okay.
And we're hoping that we'll prevail.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.